continue the conversation at dannymorell.com/awakenyou. Welcome and get ready, because as always, I don't know what we're going to say, but I have a feeling that this one is going to blow your mind, because my friend Ivana May is back. Welcome back.
We are back.
Yeah. So I got a question for you. If someone's watching this, again, we're going to be in flow, but based off of what your intuition tells you, in 30 seconds or less, why should someone watch this episode till the very end?
If you want to have your heart expanded and a deep remembrance of wisdom that's already inside you, but we as a collective have forgot, stay on and listen to the whole episode so that you can remember.
I love that. I love that. I have a feeling this is going to be deep. Is it going to be deep? You just said something, the collective. For those of us that may be new to spirituality, to consciousness, to awakening, what is the collective? How do you define the collective?
The collective is us. The collective is the people, the planet, the animals. It's the consciousness. It's the energy that flows through all living beings. It's the levity. It's the oneness. It's us. It's we.
Beautiful. And you said the wisdom, right? I know that in my journey, I have discovered that everything I've ever needed, every answer I've ever searched for, it's been within myself. You know, when you say the wisdom that you may not remember you have, talk to me first about how you discovered that. Like, how did you reconnect? How did you maybe awaken?
Right? I feel like I was asking a question that I already knew the answer to, but it set me on my journey to start asking more questions and to seek and to look around me and to pay attention as I was walking and to ask. It was basically my communication with God, with spirit, with my inner self, with my higher self that was leading me on the answers. It was kind of like a little game. It was like little clues that were pointing me and bringing me deeper to myself.
So if somebody is on that journey right now, I know that for many people, our podcast does that for them. For many people, our podcast confronts parts of them that may be blocking them from remembering. If somebody's on that journey right now, like, number one, what do you recommend? What advice would you give them? What does that feel like, you know? And what are some of the questions that maybe you asked?
Yeah, so there's different parts to it. I feel like one big overlying piece is that there's a lot of fear, and it could be really scary, and it could be a dark place that you go to. It's like the bottom of like almost coming down onto your knees. Like if there's more, please show me, because you're just like, there has to be more. I know there's more. For whatever reason, the spark in your soul, the wisdom inside is beckoning you to come
right
hither. Yeah. And I feel like there's definitely the elements of fear, of darkness, of separation, of feeling like, what is the collective? Who am I in the collective? Is there a God? Like, what is, there has to be more to life. There has to be more to this existence. There's tears. It's almost like a, it's almost like a clean, like if there isn't more, then just it should end now. Essentially, it's home. Like, it's kind of like a coming to head.
It's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming to it, because that's the pain that will essentially release the suffering that we're in because we're in separation.
Do you think, like, for me, it was the pain of my mom's death. Do you think it's like that for everybody, that some sort of pain has to be felt that makes them feel so bad that they're willing to say the words, if it isn't more than this, then like, take me now type of deal?
I think so. Like, there are many quotes that speak to this. Like, there's no coming to consciousness without pain, or there's different ways of saying it. I don't know why. Sometimes I want to be like, but can't we just do it with ease and grace? Like, sometimes that's my prayer. But there is something to that, because that's like the growth. That's where growth happens. Like when a baby is born, or like the diamond in the rough, that story, the butterfly coming out of the cocoon, like there has to be something to push up against,
right,
to break free.
Yeah. And as you were saying before you said it, so it's a sign to lead the conversation in this way. You are known as a birth doula. Is that
a birth keeper, authentic midwife, postpartum doula?
Right.
Many titles.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that look like? Especially to those folks that are listening right now that, you know, if they had a baby or they are thinking of having a baby, they're in their minds, you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, you do the normal American route. Like, what is what you do? What does it mean?
So I am, one of the titles is a radical birth keeper. And just to know that the word radical actually means to the root of the root. So radical is actually going back to the root. And so radical birth keepers are essentially women that hold space to witness a mother have a natural, spontaneous, physiological birth without any kind of disruption in her to her in her field. And we are there to hold space for mothers who want to birth outside of the medical system, outside of having a licensed midwife there, which we spoke to a little bit on our last episode. But it's essentially going back to the roots, going back to the ways that our ancestors birthed before us, which was the grandmothers being at birth, the aunties, the medicine women, just holding space. There were no legalities that were weighing over their own intuition and having to go against what they know is right inside because they might lose their license. And that actually causes a lot of unnecessary interventions, traumatic births, abuse to women. And more women are waking up to this. And so they're like, there has to be another way to birth. It's like the pain that we're brought in our first birth, maybe the second, leads us to saying there has to be another way.
Yeah.
And what are my options? And so a radical birth keeper is just there to hold space. And we don't have any medicine on us. We don't have any Pictocin. We don't have any, we might have herbs. We might have some yarrow and some angelica root in case there's bleeding, but we hold the frequency of just the mother is in charge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If the mother wants to get transferred to the hospital, like that's on her. We're not going to tell her she needs to do this, do anything. We are literally there because we know at the deep, deep depths of our heart and soul that mama knows what she's doing.
And she's equipped to do it.
And she's equipped to do it.
Yeah.
And we reflect that to her.
Talk to me about energy, particularly in the way births happen right now. It's so true what you say. It's, you know, I know from being in ceremony, energy is like everything. And when you think about it, when it comes to giving birth to a child, you're so right. It's like the picture that is coming to me right now is the woman and the husband or the father is essentially guided through this process that intuitively we used to guide ourselves through. And as a result, the woman is being disconnected from her intuition. It's almost as if the message is, your intuition is not needed here or valued here. We are going to tell you how to do what it is that like women have been doing for millions upon millions of years, right? And we are going to tell you when to have the baby. We are going to tell you what you need to do. We are going to tell you when you need to show up. We're going to completely disrupt the birth process so that you and the baby are completely disrupted.
It's so deep.
It's really deep.
It's like by design, question mark. I wonder. And there's also a responsibility piece that I think is so important. And that's why I think it's so important to do the inner work while you're pregnant, before pregnancy, throughout the journey, because there is a responsibility piece on our own inner wounds, unhealed trauma that would allow essentially these people to interfere in our sacred space.
Right.
And we've been programmed from our own births. It's literally passed down through the lineage of what happened to our mothers, and we were in her womb.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps carrying out through the line until somebody says, stop, I'm going to break this cycle now. It's going to end with me. And it's the micro and the macro. It's like the abusive relationship in the inner home to the outer abusive relationship happening on the medical in the medical system. And so it's up to the women to be like, no, stop, or have the education to know their rights, to know they could leave anytime, to say, no, you're not going to touch me like that. No, I don't want that. and use our voice. And that's like such a wound of the feminine, is that we are the people pleasers. We don't speak our truth in the moment. We freeze, we smile, we just go along with it, even if we don't want to. And that's where our work comes in.
Because if the woman is not able to express herself and to give her voice, someone will happily give her their own voice.
Yes.
And that's what the medical system is doing today when it comes to birth.
Yes.
So I want to break this down for a second. You know, to me, it is unfathomable, the amount of couples that are going to a doctor and the doctor is scheduling them for a C-section before the baby is even ready to come out. Like, people have no idea how terrible this is, because the body is made, it's created, it's everything is beautifully, perfectly orchestrated so that when that baby's lungs are fully developed, when he or she is ready to take their first breath, the contractions begin.
Yes.
Not a second prior.
Yes.
And yet we're having so many couples. This is normal. By the way, no shame.
No shame.
This is just, it's become so normal that a doctor gets to decide 2 weeks before, essentially, your baby is ready to take their first breath. Yeah, we'll just pull them out.
Mm-hmm. And the trauma that causes, we don't even understand. We don't know the full, you know, effects of it, because it is on an energetic level. It's on a soul level. It's on a cellular level. It goes so deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why the whole due date thing is like such a mind trip, because, okay, when baby's not here at this day, that means they're late or they're early, when it's like, no, they're coming when they're coming and it's going to be perfect. And if we can just allow that, and just trust the body to do exactly what you said, the baby's lungs release the chemical and the contractions start. Can we just fucking hold that space and stop interfering?
Right.
It's like a sacred rage needs to come out.
Right.
On a collective level to shh.
As you said, the message that I just got is, it's such a sign of how disconnected from our heart and the woman's intuition we all are, and how deeply programmable we are. It's like the due date is like a little microchip that is being implanted in you.
Yep.
It's truly
the whole
what it
family
is.
Texting
by
you.
The matrix.
Yep, by the matrix. Yeah,
when is the due date?
Are they here yet? Are they here? Yeah. And the mother gets nervous, yeah, and she gets worried.
Well, why aren't they here?
Yep.
Which causes stress and hormones and
unnecessary interventions. Because then, and now there's laws in the states, like in Texas, for example, many states, I think it's 42 weeks. After 42 weeks, a midwife can no longer attend your birth. You have to go to a hospital or else she'll lose her license. So that's why midwives start pushing at 41 weeks, baby's not here. We're going to start to now do all these things to try to get push baby out before they're ready. So that's why women will hire someone like me, a radical birth keeper, who will attend your birth no matter what week you are. You're not even going to be counting your weeks when I'm holding space for your birth.
Because that's the last thing you would want to do.
Yeah.
Because that means you're in your mind, exactly. Not in your heart.
And not in your body, in your womb.
Devonna, yeah. I got a question for you. Do sheep have due dates?
Do bears have due dates?
Do horses?
Do dolphins?
Do they?
No.
So we're the only species that has a due date when it comes to birth.
The mind.
Because we're the only species that can be programmed.
Mm. Oof.
It's wild.
It's impossible for you to have a successful relationship with another human being or a partner if you don't have a successful relationship with yourself. And what we as human beings don't realize is that we are deeply disconnected. We're disconnected from Mother Earth. We're disconnected from peace. We're disconnected from love. What we do at Awaken is we curate different exercises to help you reconnect first to yourself, and then the beautiful process of reconnecting to everybody begins. And that's why Awaken is so powerful. You'll do more in 3 days at Awaken than you would do 30 years anywhere else.
I was so stuck, and now I feel peace.
Awaken has been the best thing we have done for our marriage.
Coming here, I realized that the answers were inside of me all the time.
Head on over to DannyMorrell.com/awaken now to get your tickets today. Talk to me about the drugs and the medicine.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. So there's a drug called Pictosin that they use. I'm not even, it's a fake hormone, I guess. It's a synthetic hormone that is administered to, quote, get contractions started. And that's usually what they call like the beginning of the cascade of interventions that will lead to an unnecessary C-section, because the Pictosin makes your contractions so painful because they're unnatural. They're so hard that the mother goes into such pain that she now needs to have an epidural or whatever it's doing internally to her body to disconnect her from what babies wants to do. And the natural process makes her basically detach from baby, detach from her own body, and then needing an epidural because it's so painful. And then she can no longer feel from her waist down. And then she needs to get a C-section. And also what's going on mentally when she disconnects in that way and is no longer in her body, in her power, in people who are there holding her, trusting her, which is such an important piece. Like who's in the room can shift. One person whose energy is off can have a mama close. And it can be even a family member.
It's so interesting you bring that up, because I remember when we were in labor with Selena, we showed up to the hospital early. We should have never had done that. And I remember the nurse was like half asleep because it was like 2 a.m. and she had the absolute worst energy. And I think that is the thing that like caused the spiral of events that like close her up.
You don't feel safe.
No.
We will only birth where we feel safe. So whatever is in our environment is going to give us information on whether or not our body is safe to open.
Mm.
It could be the lights. It could be a smell. It could be a person. It could be a sound someone makes. That's why it is so vital for the birthing space to be the most sacred space where women feels the most safe. And essentially, that's the masculine role,
that's right,
is to protect the birthing energy. Field, the yeah. space.
Mm-hmm. And so that opens up a whole nother conversation, because so many men don't know how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many men are so disconnected from their own spirit, their own heart, their own
birth, their own mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way they can provide that space for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So how does a couple, how does someone that's listening to this go about fixing this? Like, what are some of the steps that they can take to like be aware?
Yeah.
You know,
Awareness shifts consciousness. I feel like that's the first piece, is wanting to know, having a curiosity, even if you don't fully resonate with it. It's like even just a one little spark of being curious to learn more, and you'll be guided. If you have a prayer in your heart or a desire in your heart to learn something, you'll be guided to find the website, to find the person, to trust your intuition. Maybe I don't like them. I'm going to find someone else. And you'll get the questions that you're seeking, like we brought up in the beginning. When you have that question inside you, there has to be more. I want to know. You will learn. And I would say finding someone like a radical birth keeper, someone online. Maybe you can't find anyone in person, but there are tons of resources and people all over the world that have beautiful wisdom to share. And they do sessions with couples while they're pregnant to like prepare them, or even if it's one session to just get information. What are my options? So you can have all your options and you could choose from a place that really feels right in your heart. So you can do that as a couple. You can work with someone who does basically birth trauma debriefing from what happened to maybe the mother in her first birth. That's going to help release blockages and fears for her next birth. You can work with someone that will help you unravel layers from your own birth, because that shows up in the birthing room too, like deep unconscious fears and beliefs and worries. And so I think it's so important to have both the man and the woman, the partners, both partners, to do their own birth processing so they can not carry that into this next birth.
Not carry any negative energy, any fear,
yes, any imprints, any unconscious,
unconscious
things. Bring it to the surface. Just speaking these things out loud can shed them. And so bringing a whole new energy and trust into the birthing space is so important. It's an awareness shifts consciousness. Just being aware of what happened in your own birth. Oh, I was a second C-section for my mom. I spoke to my grandmother. What were your births like? Just getting information from the family. Like, what are you carrying in your lineage from birth? What stories are you holding that you're unconsciously repeating? And so doing that kind of work for the women, for the mothers, to work with someone who can take them just through different practices, different somatic practices, allowing mamas to share their fears. Just what are your fears? Like sitting with someone once a month and just allowing a mama to share what her fears are about her birth is way more powerful than going to get a strep B test or peeing in a cup. You know, it's like that is actually what's going to shift your birth.
I love that. And then this is one that I remember we didn't get a chance to speak about in the first show, but I want to speak about now. Talk to me about the placenta. Like, I want to know it all. What does the current medical system do? Why should we not allow them to do it? What are the benefits of having the placenta?
Yeah.
I remember we got it. I got it. I put it in a box and we made the placenta pills, the whole thing. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So right now, the current medical system views the placenta as a waste product that needs to get disposed of. There are also, and I'm not going to go so deep into this, it's a whole other realm, but there are...
No. Let's do it. Because do they actually dispose of it?
So there are companies that come in to take women's placentas and use them for pharmaceuticals, for beauty products, for stem cells, for medical procedures. They're valued at a lot of money. I've heard different things. I've heard $50,000. I've heard $500,000. I've heard different numbers. For a placenta. I've also heard that they're more valuable when they're C-section.
Why?
Because they don't go through the vaginal canal. So they're not as, quote, contaminated. So they can charge more for it.
So you mean to tell me that a company will pay $50,000, half... or above for a woman's placenta and pay more if they are not given birth vaginally? And holy shit. And is that why so many women are being forced into C-sections? Oh shit. That's a clip. Wow. I just saw the whole thing.
And that's why home births are so, there's so much fight against them. So much fight against home births, because when you have a birth at home, you have your placenta to do whatever you want with it.
Right. And that's also why there's so much fear connected to home births. Wow. You know what's coming to me? You know, I want to say it, but like, you know how you hear these whispers of like in Hollywood, how they take like children's blood? Right? To keep them young.
I've heard of these things. Yeah.
But like, couldn't they do that from the placenta?
The placenta is filled with stem cells. The placenta literally is what builds the baby and keeps the baby alive. So there's so much nutrients and stem cells and blood and just everything is in this organ, this divine organ. And
it's the thing that keeps the baby. Because I remember once we were told to wait until the umbilical cord is white.
So all the blood
is completely drained.
Into the baby, yeah.
Which is another thing doctors do is they...
Clamp quick,
right? But then that baby isn't getting all of those final minutes of nutrients.
So it goes deep. So the placenta...
Hang on a second. And then is this the way that the matrix actually from birth keeps us or puts us in a state of fear and disconnection? Wow, dude, this is wild.
When you're asking the question, you already know the answer. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why it's up to us to be informed. And with my first birth that was in the hospital, I got put to sleep. Talked about that. And I had general anesthesia. Fentanyl is my drug when I woke up, and Oxycontin is my pain relief.
Oxycontin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the first thing that I said when I woke up from general anesthesia before anything about where's my baby? Is it a boy? What is it a girl? I said, where's my placenta?
Really?
It was the first thing I said. And they said, even though I had written on my birth plan what I wanted to do with my placenta, I was planning on having my doula come encapsulate it, make pills out of it. They were like, oh, your placenta, we sent it down to the basement with all the other placentas. Good thing we wrote your name on it and we'll go get it back. So they actually went back down to the freezer and my name was on a plastic bag with a yellow post-it note that said had my name on it. And I got my placenta back and I was able to have it encapsulated. So that was a huge win for a hospital birth.
Right.
With my second birth, I was at home in the snowstorm, which I didn't even tell you on the first show, that I actually gave birth in the Austin snowpocalypse and the next day ran out of water and power for the whole week. We had no running water and power going on and off, and we wouldn't have been able to leave the house if I was planning a birth outside of the home. So it was so divinely,
wow,
perfectly orchestrated that we were having a free birth at home. So for that birth, I burned the umbilical cord instead of cutting it. And so what that does is it coagulizes like naturally the blood. So there's no like bleeding out, which some people are afraid of sometimes. And it actually—
How do you burn it? You just literally just like—
You have a lighter. It takes like 15 minutes. It was a whole ceremony that we did after 12 hours. Felt like it was time. All bear holding the candles. I'm laying there with baby. There's like a whole—
Wait. You stayed connected. The baby stayed connected to the placenta for 12 hours?
For 12 hours.
For 12 hours.
Yeah. And I felt like it was time. And I was actually planning on making a tincture with that placenta, but it fell into the toilet right really quickly, like as I was transitioning into the bed. And so it was, quote, contaminated. And I just was like, okay, I'll just give it to the earth. For the third, so fire ceremony is a beautiful way. Instead of clamping, they actually say also just to know that if there's a cut is made closer than 7 inches to the baby, that the actually disrupts the baby's auric field with the scissors. So if you are going to clamp or burn, to keep it 7 inches behind, away from the baby. Away.
Yeah.
So these are the spiritual pieces that some people might be more into than others, but they're very important for me. And, and so for the third baby that I just had 10 months ago, we actually did a lotus birth where we left the placenta on until it naturally falls off on its own. And that's called a lotus birth.
Wait, what is that?
And so that is basically a process that after baby's born, you don't do anything with the umbilical cord. You leave it attached. And there are different methods and ways of preserving the placenta. But it can fall off from like 1 to 10 days. And you just wait until essentially it's the bond between baby and the placenta that when it's time and baby feels like I'm ready to let you go, then it releases and it breaks off on its own. So you aren't interrupting at all with that connection. And that is the spiritual element of the placenta, is that it is basically like the guardian spirit of the baby. And there are cultures, almost every single culture across the world has rituals and honors the placenta because they know how powerful, beautiful, spiritual, like what this organ is. And it was a beautiful, it was so beautiful to experience. Or you basically put salt and herbs in. I got a special bag off Etsy that I kept the placenta in, and you just leave it attached to baby. And so what it does is it allows you to just move slowly. People aren't going to be coming up and moving baby around and picking them up. It's just like baby's resting there. You have to be very conscious of how you're moving, and you aren't putting clothes on, maybe not even a diaper. I think he was just laying like on a little pad thing I had and covering him with a little blanket. You're just more mindful because you have this whole piece that he's attached to. You want to be gentle and delicate so you don't like break it off because it starts to get hard and just frozen, the umbilical cord. They say that babies who have lotus births are very peaceful because they had no violent like disconnection from this organ. There's an analogy that I read that essentially would be like if a child had a puppy that they love so much and just one day it was just gone, and the parents never said anything about it, where it went, what happened to the puppy, like the deep sadness.
That, you know, that happened to me. That actually happened to me.
You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have no idea where the dog went.
I thought you were like with your placenta.
No,
I
was no,
like,
no, no, I don't remember.
Did I come in a ceremony?
No. which if you've never been in ceremony, you see stuff like
yes.
this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah. And there's so many benefits to the delayed cord clamping, to keeping the placenta, like the nutrients that go in, like we spoke to, the energetics. Like, I don't have the whole list memorized, but there's an amazing book called The Placenta, The Forgotten Chakra.
Ooh.
By Robin Lim. She's a midwife in Bali. And it's a beautiful book that goes deep into all the different rituals you can do with placentas, how all the different cultures all around the world honor placentas. And you just get like, wow, you get to see the collective consciousness with placentas. And you know what's amazing is that the word placenta in Latin, the word cake, is placenta. And so every year with our birthday cakes, we are actually unknowingly honoring our placenta.
Stop.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you've been listening to my podcast, you know I'm a strong believer and proponent of plant medicine's ability to awaken your mind, body, and soul. And many of you have asked me where I recommend going to experience the power of these medicines. And the only place on planet Earth I would ever recommend is Reunion. It's a not-for-profit healing center with over 30 years of experience in Costa Rica, which I trust wholeheartedly. I'm honored to have aligned with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. So $100 from every booking from our community goes into this fund, and we will award the fund to someone like you every couple of months. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when registering. The link to register can be found in the podcast notes, or you can learn more by going to reunionexperience.org. I got a question, because we still have the pills.
Yeah.
We can give it to Mother Earth, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've done rituals like that with the pills that were left over, beautiful ceremonies, different times of life. I did one with my son when he was 3, like the letting go of no more breastfeeding and kind of like a rites of passage ceremony that I felt like would be important for him. We buried some of his pills in that into the earth.
I'm thinking I'm going to open the caps
yep,
so that
exactly.
There's no plastic going in her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, they say like it helps with postpartum depression, helps with breastfeeding when you consume the placenta. So many different benefits. And even that like is a whole thing. Consuming the placenta is like one of the biggest reasons why women die in childbirth is in the third stage, which is the birthing of the placenta, the last stage of birth. Birth isn't finished until the placenta is out. And for unfortunately in hospitals, they cut the cord before the placenta even comes out.
Stop. You're right.
Yeah. They pull on the cord. There are so many stories I have heard, terrifying stories of doctors, of midwives, forcefully removing the placentas from the women's body before it's ready to come out because of their fear. And the trauma that causes is like beyond. And even knowing that, like, even if you are having birth in a hospital, like knowing that you have the right to protect your placenta, to say no, to keep your hands off me, out of me, like ask for what you want, stand up for what you want, have your man in there, your partner in there supporting you, holding that space, protecting you. And they will bully you and they'll bully you and they'll push you and you have to keep fighting. And that's what happens when you choose to enter the hospital system. You have to stand your ground.
And you know what's sad? I'm going to speak to this. Because we ended up having the baby in the hospital because of Jen's blood condition. And because we could afford it, I kid you not, the doctor we selected like was incredible. Like it was a private doctor. I remember on the wall, like I think Rihanna had her baby there. So I don't know. There's just you could just tell that like, This doctor, the one that we attracted, literally was like, yeah, whatever you want.
Amazing.
You're the one that's calling the shots. And I'd be like, I'd still be like ready to
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Okay,
good.
But what about this?
Good.
What about, I said, no, you're the one. Like, I'm just here to, and I was like, Oh, and he was wonderful.
Yes, they're out there.
I even remember as they were pulling Selena out, it was so gentle. Mm-hmm. And he took his time and it's like one little shoulder popped out and then the other little. Well, I remember my other kids, it was like I saw ripping and pulling and tearing and blood splatting everywhere. And this was just so beautiful. And I bring that up because for one of our children's births, it's when I had lost everything. So I couldn't afford it. I didn't have the money. I don't even think we had insurance. We had to go off like the government, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we went to this doctor and this hospital. And it makes me sad that like for people who financially are not able to afford better hospitals and better doctors, they're the ones that get bullied the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so sad to me.
Yeah. That was my experience with my first. We were at the position where we didn't have enough money at the time. Mm-hmm. We were like, okay, let's just go with this. My insurance is covering it. There's so many reasons why. We're like, okay, let's just do it in the hospital. But that was one of the reasons, financial reasons. Yeah. And also the awareness and education. But also to know, like, even if you are on government like insurance, that you can still leave at any time and choose a different provider that will take your insurance. Like, even just to know that even if you are on Medicaid, whatever they call it, different government assisted insurance, that you can choose and you can find midwives, you can find birthing centers. There are radical birth keepers like me who will take a payment plan. So I supported a woman in her birth last year while I was pregnant and she didn't have a lot of money. And I just had a really extended payment plan and she's still a year later sending me payments for her birth. And she had a beautiful birth at home and it was her third baby and it was her dream come true.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And after the birth, I know this is something that is going to blow people's minds. You stayed in bed or at home or mm-hmm. whatever you did mm-hmm. for how long?
40 days.
40 days.
Yes.
So 40 days of nothing.
40 days of nothing, of resting, of being with baby, eating nourishing foods. And there's also all over the world, every culture has this sacred window, the first 40 days, the golden month in Chinese, there's the cuarentena in Mexican cultures, like all over have this sacred window of time that the community knows mama gave birth. Now we come together to support her for her ultimate health and well-being. In Ayurveda, they say the first 40 days impacts the next 40 years of a woman's life, but her health and well-being. And most of the diseases and health issues that women have later on in life is because of the way they cared for themselves, the way they were cared for after birth. This window of time is so sweet. It's so precious. So much is going on physiologically with the mother, hormonally. This is her time to bond with baby. This is her time to rest and receive, because we know what women do the rest of the years. They're nonstop. They're go, 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 do, 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 working, cleaning, cooking, taking care of the kids, the house, the home, everything, their businesses. So this window of time is so precious. And most women don't know about it. They don't even know. And that's where the grief is, where it's like, you didn't even know this was an option. And more are learning, and we're calling in the teens and the postpartum doulas and our grandmother and mother-in-laws, like bringing it together so we can have somewhat of this time. And then it's beautiful and the awareness is shifting and I'm seeing it. It's like, yes, but oftentimes I see a mom, she's like, I just had a baby. She's out at the post office. The baby was born a week ago. And she's like standing in line at the post office. And I'm like, what are you doing? Go back at home. They say it should be the first week in bed, the second week around the bed. You can get up, be in the bedroom. The third week, maybe outside, like in the living room. And the fourth week, if you're even feeling to step outside, you can walk outside the neighborhood. But really try not even to leave the house.
The house.
Be in darkness, be in quietness, be in sattva, be in calm, beautiful music, like nourishing foods, warming foods. There's specific foods that are meant for this postpartum time for women to eat that will carry them in their 40 years of life because they ate the warming foods, the warming spices. In Ayurveda, there's so many beautiful herbs and ways to eat and be that are so beautiful. And I actually got to experience it as a practitioner. It was like an experiment almost that I did on myself with this last birth because I'm currently in an Ayurvedic postpartum doula training. So I'm doing this course and I'm like doing the things on myself. And I also had a postpartum doula team that came twice a week. And I would like teach them even some of the things I know. And I did all these rituals on myself, herbal baths, Abhyanga warm oil massage almost every day, eating the foods, like making sure I stayed warm, wearing socks, wearing, you know, just not being cold, not having cold air blowing on me. And everyone who saw me was blown away. They were like, you reverse age. They're like, you backwards age. You look, you're glowing. You're more beautiful than you were before. And that's literally what they say happens when you do these things.
Wow.
So it was really cool to like firsthand experience, like, oh, this works. I can't wait to share this with other women.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a woman can be more revitalized after birth.
Yeah. We didn't do that, but for the next one,
I'm
committed to that.
Yes, like, I'll be your postpartum priestess.
For sure. Because we'll be here now.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Devana, what came to me is, you know, the media, the news, society is working so hard to make us forget.
Mm.
To make us forget the ways of the past. To make us forget the ways of our ancestors. Yeah. To make us forget the ways of life before all of this. And I, as we were just speaking, I felt so grateful, so grateful to be putting on this show because it helps people remember, you know, years from now, these episodes will still be there and hopefully they're passed around and said, no, you got to hear Devana, you know, 100 years from now, you know, and this could be, you know, the show that helps people to remember, you know.
And it may just continue to spread.
For sure.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
How do people hear more about
you? Well, I'm currently working on my postpartum offering for women in person and online with a dear sister here in Austin. We're building our website. It's called themotherstemple.com.
I love it.
Yeah. Our Instagram, The Mother's Temple. So that will be where we'll be sharing all of our birth work and wisdom and love and nourishment. And then my personal website, divinedevana.com, Instagram, Divine Devana. I do one-on-one sessions, consultations. Her and I do coaching, birth, postpartum. We do birth trauma debriefs. We help all the things we shared will help sit with couples, process their own birth.
Yeah.
All the things globally. So we're here.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And I want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you to all of you for how many of you share these episodes. Thank you for all of you who, you know, go, you know, like, comment, subscribe. A lot of you are doing this on YouTube right now. Thank you so much. The episodes they're starting to get 500,000 views. It's starting to be really beautiful. And I say thank you because truly, this is what's happening right now is that society is purposefully and darkness, dark energy is purposely trying to get you and us to forget. And the more that we can have these conversations, the more that we'll remember.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even dark energy. Remember we spoke last time? Darkness is good. The darkness is where we grow.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week on another episode of The Higher Self. Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Higher Self. If you want to continue your journey of awakening your absolute highest self, I invite you to join our community by downloading the brand new Awaken You app right now. Simply go to dannymorell.com/awaken and the letter U to download the app, and I will see you inside our community.